Okay, we begin the actual beginning of the Tanya. So for those of you who haven't been here till now, it's a good place to start without the introduction. It's Perek Aleph, and in the Chassidus Mevu'ares, that's page Mem Ches, upper right-hand side, page Mem Ches. You have an English Tanya. If you're English Tanya, you could follow along as well on that part. Again, that's only you all have this same volume? Okay, Esther, maybe help her find it. Okay. All right. Okay, so what you have is, you have on the top of the line, you have the Tanya complete. And then below, it's line by line with explanations of the Chassidus Mevu'ares. So we're going to always work below the line and not on top of the line. And first, there's just a little bit of an introduction. Even before we do any kind of introduction, we're just going to say over, there's a lot to be said on the word Tanya and why the Rebbe started with the word Tanya. Even though, as we said, many editions, many girsas of the Gemara don't even say it was a brisa. So we wouldn't even say the word Tanya. So why did Rebbe go out of his way to use the word Tanya? So Rav Wolfson explains as follows, and it's also part of what we mentioned a little bit, but one of God's names is Aleph Hey Yud Hey. Ek Yeh. I will be. It's one of the names of Hashem. And Hashem used that name when Moshe said to Hashem, what will I tell the Jewish people? Who sent me? So he says that it's Aleph Hey Yud Hey, sent you. Now, that word is very deeply connected to the world of Teshuva. Because when a person says Eheyeh, means I want to become. So this should really teach us something about ourselves as well. As we are also in the Tzelem Elokim. I want to become. Each person has to connect this concept of Eheyeh, I want to be. And I'm not satisfied where I am. Right? If a person is satisfied where they are, they're never going to do tshuva. A person always has to emulate Hashem. As Hashem, as we're says, Eheyeh, I will be, I will become. You know? So the person has to be the same. So that's the root of teshuva. And so the uniqueness of the Tanya, okay, is just like we said that the letters Tanya, Tav Nun Yud Aleph, these are all prefixes to the Lashon Atid, the future tense. Whenever you say a word in the future, I will sit is a shev. We'll start from the order you want. You will sit is te shev. We add a tes. We will sit ne shev. You add a yud. He will sit, Yeshev, is with a yud in front. Eshev, I will sit, you put an alf in front, that's the letters Tanya. Tanya is the letters of the future. Right? We mentioned that, I believe. So therefore, the purpose of the Tanya is to ma'orer, is to arouse a Jew to do tshuva. And that means what? To look to the future. Tshuva is based on looking to the future. I will become. So there has to be a future to such a person. So therefore, the Rebbe said in the Shar Blot that the whole point of the book is to teach us how the Derech Arukah Shehik Sarah, the long, short way, to understand the Pasuk, Ki Korav Elecha Dover Ma'od, that this thing is very close to you, that what even in your heart is very close to you, that everyone's capable of doing this. So we all can reach this Choshev level, this very significant level of being a Beinoni, as will be explained. So therefore, he called the work Tanya. As we also explained, there's a klipa, there's a husk, a shell of impurity called Tanya, which is opposed to learning this kind of Torah, the Pnimiyas HaTorah, the inner depth of Torah. So the Bala Tanya was waging war against this Tanya klipa, as it were. Okay, little introduction, in case those who were late could now come in. But let's see, everybody's still here, so. So we're going to begin now with the introduction, the little paragraphs of introduction to the beginning here. So on the, he divides up this chapter into many parts, the, Chassidus Mevu'ares. This first chapter will take us quite a while. Okay, the first chapter goes from page Mem Ches to all the way Ayin Dalet. That's almost 25 pages just to understand the first. Remember, the whole book is only 8 chapters of the whole Tanya. So, Mitzvah Shem will have lots to do. Okay, Sefer HaTanya Nikra Sefer Shel Beinonim. What we will find out is that the Tanya is called the Book of the Beinoni. And the whole point of the first chapter is to try to describe what a Beinoni is and not according to our wrong ideas of what a Beinoni is. In Chassidus they say there's 3 books. There's the Sefer Shel Beinonim, Sefer Shel Tzadikim, and Sefer Shel Rishoyim. So the Sefer Shel Beinonim is the Tanya. The Sefer Shel Tzadikim is the works of the Noam Elimelech. It's like Mama, she's addressing the holiest of holies. And who's the Sefer Shel? The Noam Elimelech, or Elimelech of Luzhinsk. Sefer Shel Rishoyim is Likutei Maran. Is the works of Rabbi Nachman. Why? Because Rabbi Nachman's Torah could reach so low to reach down even to the Rishoyim, as Mamish, Rabbi Nachman would like, as it were, he's going into Gehenim to get them out. Right? So even anybody who thinks he's a Rasha, Rabbi Nachman had that person in mind. Anyway, for now we're learning the Sefer Beinonim.
Scary, he said he was writing for our generation.
Yeah, he's writing for our generation. That's right. Shekein Hashem Beinoni Hutoar Lamida Ulmadrega Mesuyemes Bavodesh Hashem Anidreshes Mikol Adam. As we're going to see, the name Beinoni is a description of the character and the level of a certain degree in Avodas Hashem that is required from every person. As Beinoni, he says in the brackets, is b'mashmo shel derech ha-mitzua. It's the path of the middle path. That's a path that Hashem can expect from everybody. Kedivri Rabbeinu L'Halon, as our Rebbe says later on in the 14th parak, he himself says, midas ha-Beinoni, he midas kol adam. The character of a Beinoni, the attribute of a Beinoni, is the attribute that every person should be. Kol adam. V'acharei kol adam nimshach. And everyone should be drawn to become a Beinoni. Rabbeinu Kosev Sifro, and therefore the Rebbe really called the book Sefer Shel Beinoni. He says it's called the book of the Beinoni book. Lavaris mahusa shel madregas Beinoni, ulahoras esdarki avoda shel Beinoni. To, first of all, to explain, in essence, what is the level of a Beinoni, and to teach us the ways of serving Hashem as a Beinoni should. Shehein hein darchei avoda shel kol adam Yisrael. This is the way of all Jews should serve Hashem, as a Beinoni. Now, ukedei levaris maos madregas a Beinoni. So in order to explain what is the level of a Beinoni, makdim rabbeinu kama mamari chazal, odos chilukei amadregos tzadik Russia Ubedoni. So Rebbe has to preface by quoting many works of the rabbis regarding the different levels that are called Tzadik, Rasha, Benoni. If you want to know what a Benoni is, we have to know what a Tzadik is. To know what a Rasha is. To know what a Benoni is. When Mechulich Mahemi brings proofs from all these Chazal, she efshe lefarish esmaus chiluke madrega salol kefeyam ashmaus apshuta shaloshim razal. He's going to prove that it's impossible to explain the essence of the differences of these levels, the way the simple reading of Chazal are. That what? How do we understand? If you ask anybody who has any idea about Torah knowledge, how do you define a tzaddik? Shetzaddik umi sheish lo rov zchuyot umiut avonot. A tzaddik is someone who has a lot of merits and very few demerits. Rasha is the opposite. Umi sheish lo rov avonos umiut zchuyot. Rush, someone has a lot of sins and a few mitzvahs. Ubeinoni, whom yishesh lo mechza schuyos u mechza avonos. Ubeinoni is 50-50. Right? So that's the common understanding, which we'll see that cannot be true. Kibemis gam yishesh lo mir avonos nikurush. He'll bring chazal that will say that even a person with very few averis is also called a rasha. He's going to quote a chazal, for example, it says, of a person who wastes time from Torah is a Rasha. Now you could be doing more mitzvahs than averus. You're still called a Rasha. Ve'ein a Beinoni, that's not called a Beinoni. Ve'koshkin all the more, so who rachim when you drink a tzaddik, it's not a tzaddik. Now, then what is he saying? You could have more zechuyot than averot, but if the aver you have is bitul Torah, you're a Rasha. Okay, but most of my day isn't good stuff. So that's why we have to understand it cannot be the conventional understanding where we understand Tzadik, Rasha, Beinoni. Depends on where you fit in the scale. Okay. After the Rebbe gives this introduction, then he will get into what is actually a Tzadik in a Rasha. And then we'll be able to understand what a Beinoni is, which will only be explained when we get to chapter 12. So that'll probably be at least a year and a half. So we'll get to know what a Beinoni is. Okay. Now, what we're going to find is not everyone can be a Tzaddik. No one wants to be a Rasha, but everyone can be a Beinoni. That's what the Sefer is going to say. Not everyone is cut out to be a Tzaddik. Don't despair if you're not going to be a Tzaddik. But a Rasha, you know, you don't want to be a Rasha. But everybody can be a Beinoni, and that's what the Sefer is for. Okay, now we're going to start the actual words of the Baal HaTanya. So he says, Tanya, it's written in a Braisa at the end of the third parak of Nida. Before a little baby is brought out into the world, Mashbino, so we cause it, an oath is administered to the neshama of the vlad, of the baby, kodem shiotzu l'avir olam, before it comes into the world, right? Tehi tzadik, next page, va'al tehi rasha, be a tzadik and don't be a rasha. Va'afilu kol olam kulo omrim l'cha tzadikata, even if the whole world says you're a tzadik, heyei be'enecha kerasha, you should be in your eyes as a rasha. You should always consider yourself as a Rosh. That is the Chazal. That's the famous oath. You may not remember the oath, but you made it. It was administered to each and every one of us. That what? Be a Tzaddik, don't be a Rosh. And even if the whole world says you're a Tzaddik, you should think you're a Rosh. So Rebbe's going to ask three questions on this Maimer Chazal. If you're anticipating very quick answers in this book, it's going to be very disappointing. All right? So he's going to load us up with the questions. We're not going to get answers this week, probably not even next week. Down the line, if you stick with the Sefer, you'll get to the answers. But Tzarech Lohavin, we have to understand. Tatznan, there's a mission of Pirkei Avos in the second chapter says, V'al tehi Rasha b'fnei asmacha. You should never consider yourself to be a Rasha. It's a Mishnah. Right? V'al tehi Rasha b'fnei asmacha. Don't consider yourself like a Rasha. So now he explains, the Chassidus Mevarech explains. Tzarech Lohavin, Siyum Braisa, so it's hard to understand the end of the Braisa in Nida. That says if everybody thinks you're a Tzaddik, consider yourself a Rasha. Ki l'chor divra Braisa, those words of the Braisa that says, V'afilu kol olam kula omrim l'cha Tzaddik ata, heyei benech ka Rasha, even the whole world says you're Tzaddik, consider yourself a Rasha. So olam tzarech adam l'hatsik as atzmuk a Rasha, according to this Gemara, you're supposed to always consider yourself a Rasha. That's so simis ha-mefurish mishabobis, it contradicts explicitly what's said in Pirkei Avos. Which says, "Val tehi Rasha b'fnei asmacha." You shouldn't be a Rasha in your own eyes. Klomer, she'ein lo la'adam la'hachzik as atzel Rasha. A person should not consider himself as a Rasha. That's question number one. Question number two, back to the Baal HaTanya. V'gam yeveinav k'rasha, even if you are a Rasha in your eyes, let's say, okay, you've done that. Let's understand, how does that make sense? Yeira lavavo v'yod seif. What happens to a person who thinks he's a Rasha? Going all day long, I'm a Rasha. You get depressed. Your heart feels bad. Oh, I'm such a terrible person. You can't serve Hashem with joy and a good heart if you think you're a Rasha. Right? When a person does an Avera, sometimes they think, oh, I'm such a Shmo. How could I do this? I guess I'm not such a good guy. All right. If I'm already a Rasha, might as well live like one. I'm ready not going to Elum Haba, so I might as well live like one. But that's not good to think that way. So now he explains the Chassidus Mevarech. Novada stira l'divrei ha-braisa mishnah mefureshes, besides the contradiction that we've shown of the braisa to an explicit mishnah, in a divrei ha-braisa, the words of the braisa that says that you should be in your eyes like a rasha, eina mufonmanim gam b'tzad asfar, it doesn't even make sense logically. A person in every situation in life thinks he's a Rasha. Hareza Bavari Yeshpil Olaro will certainly influence himself in a negative way. If you have free Olala Avodas Hashem, it will hold him back, it will disturb him from serving Hashem. Why? Shkeni Vodam Yachsagas Aso Karasha. If a person considers himself to be a Rasha, Gam Kesher Hu Misya Gea Harve B'Torah Masim Tovim, even if he works hard in learning Torah and does a lot of good actions, because that's what it says. The whole world says you're a tzaddik. Even if the whole world says it's tzaddik, how does the whole world say you're a tzaddik? When it's not true. At least it looks that way. Why would someone call you a tzaddik? Because you give a lot of tzedakah, you do a lot of chesed, you learn a lot of Torah. So obviously, they're not going to call you a tzaddik if you're a bank robber. If you sit around and don't learn. It says, even if the whole world calls you a tzaddik. So that means even a person's working hard in living a Torah life. But if you think you're a Rasha, then Yera Lavavo V'Yipaletzos, you're going to fall into a depression. Because you're going to feel that everything you're doing is for naught. Nothing's coming from it. Right? And let's look in the brackets. He says, Upshita Shekesher HaTorah. And it's certainly for sure true. When the Torah says, Shehi Torah's Emes, and the Torah is Mamish the truth. If the Torah says, Omer Sha'adam Tzorich Lahachzik Asma Karasha. If the Gemara is saying a person should consider himself like a Rasha, you can't give an answer. Ain't Zever Derech Guzman, it's just an exaggeration. It doesn't really mean a Rasha, it's an exaggeration. Gemara says, consider yourself like a Rasha, it's not an exaggeration. It's a Gemara. It's a Brisa in Nida. We just quoted. It's the third parak of Nida. You open up a Gemara in Nida, go to the end of the third parak, there it is. Gemara is the word of Hashem. It's Taras Emes. So, don't say, well, it's Kadesh Al Yavad Degav. Well, it really meant, think yourself a Rasha, so you won't become arrogant. You can't give that easy answer, because if it says, consider yourself a Rasha, it means consider yourself like a Rasha. Elif Hishal Pitara, Kani Emes. No, Corinthor, it is true, you are a Rasha. That the name Rush is not totally removed from the person. Why? Because there's always something negative within the person. And this will cause a person's sadness and depression. So it's hard to understand if the Torah is saying, yes, you must really consider yourself as a legitimate Russia. So if I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be considered like a real Russia, that's going to depress me. And therefore, and when you're depressed, you can't serve Hashem with joy and happiness. And that's a problem because Hashem commanded us to serve Him with joy. It says in Tehillim, I don't understand. How can you consider yourself a Russian? Is it possible to serve Hashem with joy when you think you're a Russia? And it also says in the Torah, Parshas Ki Savot, why did all this calamities and destruction come upon the Jewish people? It says you didn't serve Hashem with joy. So obviously we have to do things to make us joyful in Avodas Hashem and not to feel sad. Next page. Under the line. The Im Kain comes out. Hechzachta atzma l'rasha. Hechzachas atzma l'rasha. Rak mazik l'avodas Hashem. Considering yourself like a Russia only can hurt and damage your Avodas Hashem. So it's not logical to say this. Now, and if you're going to say, Vim lo yera levava klal mizeh, and if, let's say, your heart, after you read this Gemara, your heart doesn't feel bad, right? Then if that's the case, let's say you ignore the Gemara, then yachal lovely day kalos chas v'shom, then you can come to lightheadedness, God forbid. You can come to some bad things. What does he mean? So let's look at the other hand. If you decide, no, I'm not going to worry about this Gemara. This doesn't make sense. There's a lot of things I don't agree to in the Torah. There's another one. And I'm not going to get so excited I'm a Russia. Okay, you say I'm a Russia. Okay, I'm not going to think about it. So I'm not going to feel bad about it. I don't want to feel bad. If you really are Russia and you ignore it, that'll bring you to the worst things. Because it doesn't bother you, the evil that's inside of you, because that's why you're called a Rasha. So that'll bring you, you're liable, to not make your best efforts to nullify the evil and to free yourself from it. You can remain a Rasha forever. In other words, if you take the words of Chazal seriously, it's going to make you depressed. If you don't take it seriously, and Chazal say you are a Rasha, then that's bad. If person's a Rasha doesn't deal with it, that's bad. So therefore, he concludes this little point and says, V'nimsa comes out, Shibachol ha'afanim, either way you look at it, Hachzakas atzluka Rasha, Yechol ha'shpial adam l'ra. And it comes out, understanding that someone is a Rasha will always come out bad. Either you're going to be depressed, or you're going to be someone who doesn't care. Either way. So how is one to look at himself in this world? What does the Gemara mean? You should look at yourself as a Rasha. Right? What is Hashem telling us about ourselves? What is the definition of a human being if Hashem says, no, you have to always consider yourself to be a Rasha? So obviously the conventional understanding of Rasha cannot be acceptable. That's what, obviously what the answer is going to have to go in that direction. Right, that's the second question. Okay. Now, kedei lahavin bir inyan zeh, so to understand an explanation of this, she'adam tzarech lios be'enav kirasha, that a person has to be in his eyes like a rasha. Yesh lahaktim berur yesodi b'mahusam shalmadregis tzadik benon of rasha. We really need to preface with a fundamental clarification of what is the essence of these levels, tzadik, benoni, and rasha. Okay. But let's begin to explain the concept. It's just the beginning. We find in the Gemara, in many Gemaras, they give hey chalukas. They really tell us there's five types of individuals. There's the concept of tzaddik v'tovlo. There's the tzaddik and all is good with him. Tzaddik v'ralo. The tzaddik and things are bad with him. There's a concept of rasha v'tovlo. A rasha who has things good with him. V'rasha v'ralo. And of Russia, and things are bad with him. And also we have the Beinoni. These are the concepts that are throughout the Talmud. It's interesting, there's no Beinoni, Vitovlo, Beinoni, Viralo, you never hear that one.
Well, because it's not an Indian. Beinoni,
well,
we understand.
Well, I don't know.
Either way.
Anyway, we should think about it. But those are the five concepts. So now, what does this really mean? Okay. So the simple meaning is, right, she says, Medivre Chazal, B'mkom Hashanim, Gemara, Oyla, Shebnei Yisrael, Nechul, Chamisha, Suyim. From the words of the rabbis, we see the Jews are divided into five categories. Tzadik v'tovlo means Shetovlo v'mazeh. There's a tzadik who has it good in this world. He has a wonderful life in this world too. Tzadik v'ralo means Sheralo v'mazeh. It's bad for him in this world. And the same for Russia. I don't have to read the rest of that. Let's go to the next page. Sometimes I think it's a little bit too much explanation here. The obvious doesn't always have to be explained. I may skip some of it. Anyway, next page. So what he's going to say is that we can't argue with the simple meaning of Chazal. But obviously Chazal are saying something much deeper. When it says tzaddik v'tovlo and tzaddik v'ralo, it's more than just what happens to the tzaddik. It's going to tell us the definition. It's a definition of two different kinds of tzaddikim. That's what it really means. And that's what we're going to say. Chamesh, Chalukas Elo. These five divisions are Nun Aleph now. In Chamesh, Dargos, B'Bnei Yisrael. Those are five levels of the Jewish people. That's what we'll explain. Uperishu Gemara. The Gemara explains in Brachas. When we talk about a tzaddik v'tovlo, what does it mean when a tzaddik lives in this world and everything's good with him? So Gemara explains. He's a tzaddik gomor. He's a complete tzaddik. Tzadik v'ralo, what do you mean a tzadik who's suffering? Tzadik she'ein gomer, he said tzadik who's not complete. Now what does that mean? Gemara Mefarish, Shehevdo bein tzadik v'tovlo v'tzadik v'ralo. Gemara explains the difference between a tzadik who has it good in this world and a tzadik who has it bad in this world. Noveya mehiluk v'madregas atzadik. It comes from a differentiation of what level tzadik is he. Tzadik v'tovlo means who tzadik gomer she'ein bo chet vavon klal is a complete tzadik who has no sins at all and therefore it's good in this world for him. But tzaddik paralo, who tzaddik she'ena gomor, because the tzaddik was not complete. Shadayin yesh lo chasronos, he still has some faults, and therefore it's bad from this world, because he hasn't yet, because he still has a little bit of evil. And the footnotes below in 11 and 12 explain, so therefore since he has a little bit of evil, he gets punished in this world, so that he becomes pure 100% for the world to come. And we can infer the opposite. The Rosh of Itovlo, the Rosh has a good, must be someone who had a little bit of merits, and we pay him in this world. So he doesn't get anything in the world to come. And Rosh of Aralo is a wicked guy who doesn't have any merits at all. So he suffers in this world as well. Alright. That's the simple from the Gemara. So far we haven't done anything. Baal Tanya hasn't explained anything. He's just quoting the Gemara. But now he's going to take us deeper into the Zohar to understand what it really means. We're not negating what we've said. It's true. But it's a much deeper understanding. Ubaraya mehemna parshish mishpatim. In the Zohar, raya mehemna means the trusted shepherd. In parshish mishpatim, peresh, it explains like this. Tzadik veralo, what does a tzadik veralo means? Shehara shebo kafuf latov. That the evil that is inside of him is kafuf, is bent over, it's subjugated to the good. Meaning a tzaddik, veralo, there's a tzaddik who has evil inside of him, but he controls the evil inside of him. That's a tzaddik veralo. That's what's going to be explained in the next half page. Mavur b'zohar, the Zohar explains, shetor tzaddik veralo, that the description, the title of tzaddik veralo, Musav goes on, lo rak al matzava hagashmi shel tzaddik. It's not only going on the physical aspect of the tzaddik, that it's bad for him physically, but more, al madregas hatzaddik, it's talking about the level of the tzaddik. Umahusa hapnimi bavodas of yeskoret, and his inner essence in terms of his service to Hashem. In other words, what kind of a person he is. That's what tzaddik veralo is explaining, what kind of person he is. Tzaddik veralo perusha. What does it mean when we say tzaddik veralo? It means shehara shebo. The evil that is inside of him, who lo, it's his. He controls it. It's his. Tzaddik veralo. It's my ra. Kafuf elov. It's bent over to him. It's subservient to him. It's subservient to his will. He's a master over the evil that's inside of him. Hainu, it's subservient, letov shabo, to the good that's inside of him. The evil is subservient to the good that's inside of him, because he's a tzaddik. Shu ikar mitzius a tzaddik. He's mainly a tzaddik. Kach shalara, ein shum shlit of ve'alav. So the evil has no power, no say. It's there, but he controls it. Okay, he controls it. Hainu. What does he say? Shalafia Zohar, according to the Zohar, Ha'evdol ben shteya madregas betzadikim. What's the difference between the two levels of tzadikim? Tzadik gomer and shena gomer. What's the difference between that tzadik is a complete tzadik and one who's not a complete tzadik? Ain't a bein yishol ma'is. It's not talking about actions. It's not talking about actions that the tzadik gomer has zero averus and the tzadik shena gomer has a couple averus. That's not what it's saying, according to the Zohar. Keep a poel, lishneim, ain't a bonus call, because in reality, in action, neither of them have sins. That's why they're tzaddikim. They have no sins, period. That's going to see, that's going to be the definition of a tzaddik. Elahavdel, hu be'inyan nafshi yoter. But the difference is a much more internal aspect. Hainu ad kama bitl hatzaddik esarashi belibo p'timo. How far has the tzaddik nullified the evil in the innermost aspect of himself, what's inside of him? So tzaddik gomer nikra tzaddik v'tovlo. A tzaddik gomer is called tzaddik v'tovlo. Meaning to say, if he should beat the sarasha, believe the gomer, he's totally nullified the evil inside of himself, totally. Achein lo ra klal, there's nothing evil in his body at all, not one feeling ever. The only thing he has inside of him is good. That's the tov lo. Tzadik v'tovlo, he said tzadik, and all there is inside that tzadik, he would never ever have the slightest thought of, let's say, being jealous or being angry. We'll see. We'll see. But there's not even a drop of evil in him. Now, he's not born that way. You have to work on yourself to get to that level. Right? Now he doesn't do an Avera. Now he doesn't think to do an Avera. There isn't within him 1 ounce of evil. Not 1 ounce of jealousy, greed, hatred. It just doesn't exist inside of him at all. And such a guy is, you know, cannot do an Avera in the conventional sense of the word. The only Avera he could do is only if he makes a mistake in judgment. Mistaken judgment might be the only kind of error it's possible from ever to do. We'll see. But that's Tov Lo. Now, let's infer from this. So now, how would we understand Masha'en Kein, Tzadik She'en Gomor? What does it mean, a Tzadik who's not complete? Paul Rock is only referring L'kofe V'sarasha B'libo, that he's able to subjugate the evil in his heart, at Shubata L'tov, until it's nullified to the good. Shabbos inside him. Veinu mashpia alav. Next page. Klal. It doesn't influence him at all. It doesn't cause him any influence. Avol mikol mokom adayin kain bo'ara. But there's still evil in him. Valkein nikrat tzadik sheino gomer. It's called a tzadik who's not complete. So now let's infer from this. What's a rush of a tov lo? He's not going to say it. Let's infer. What's a rush of a tov lo? Mean to say, it's a rush who has good, but the good is subjugated to the evil. He has good feelings. Before he robs the bank, he says, "Ah, I really feel bad. She looks like a nice teller. Too bad I have to shoot her." But then he shoots her. You know, but you know, a rush of Aralo, he doesn't even have any, he doesn't feel guilty at all. He doesn't even think, ah, so, you know. The other guy says, ah, secretary, whatever, she probably has a few kids. Ah, really, I really feel bad, but that's the job, you know, you gotta do the job. I don't even think at all. Just, what do I care? She's a rotten scum. And just blasts her away. That's a rush of Viralo. This mamish, there isn't even any Tovo. It's only rot. Right? B'chlalma. You understand? Let's continue. Okay, Rendon base. Uba Gamar. Okay, that's a beautiful, beautiful. Now, Mamela. So come to even the Tzaddik, Viralo. The Tzaddik has some evil in him, but he controls it. It will happen in this world. He'll have some suffering. Because even to get rid of that little smidgen, something is still in there. It's got to be removed. So now you have to look differently. When you look at a tzaddik who's suffering, until now we looked, all right, so he probably did a few averas. Listen, he's like everybody else, right? That's what Gemara says. Gemara says, "Ein yisurim below chait." There's no sufferings without sin, but chait doesn't necessarily mean sin. Chait means you're off the target. Something's lacking, so you could be suffering, and you never did an aver in your life. But you have got this mita that you haven't totally eradicated. You control it every day, but you haven't eradicated it. So now you can be suffering even for that. Right? So he's still a tzaddik. He still hasn't done aver. Now, obviously, those who do averus can still get punished too. To be a nice guy, more mitzvahs than averus, you're certainly going to get punished as well. But that's not necessarily going to be what a definition of a tzaddik is. Okay. Moving on. The Gemara Sof Perek test the Brachas. The Gemara at the end of the ninth Perek in Brachas says, Tzadikim Yetzer Tov Shoftam. A Tzadik, his Yetzer Tov rules inside of him. Rishayim Yetzer Hara Shoftam. The Rasha, the Yetzer Hara rules. Beinonim, Zevazesh Shoftam. Beinoni, both of them rule. So that's why one of the, you know, it's a hard thing to be a Beinoni. You got a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Hara both having a voice inside. So what do you see? Gemara higdiru es chiluk of adrigas tzaddik rasha benoni kach. Gemara defines the levels of tzaddik rasha benoni as such. Shehevdu benem hu mihu hashayfet eso. The difference is who is the boss. Imrak hayetzer tov, rak hayetzer or shneim gam yachad. Is it only the yetzer tov, only the yetzer ra, or both? Okay, now. So it's interesting. So he just throws this little thing in. Right, we still have two questions, right? What was the first question? It's a contradiction between the Brice and the Mishnah. Second one, how can we ever think we're a Russia? That's only going to be negative. Now he's gone into a little bit of a off the path a little bit. He's defining what a tzaddik and a Russia is, at least tzaddik v'tovla, Russia v'ralo. that the Yetzer Tov rules versus the Yetzer Hara ruling. And now he brings a third question. He's going to bring a third question now. Amar Rabba, it's a rabbi in the Gemara, says, Kagon Ana Benoni. You want to know what a Benoni is? Me. I'm a Benoni. Amar Lai, so they said to him, Abaye said to Rabba, says, if you're a Benoni, Lo Shavik Mar Chai L'chol Berya, you haven't left life for anybody else in this world. What does that mean? In other words, if you are considered a Benoni, and you're not a Tzadik Gomer, so you haven't left any room for a person to ever become a tzaddik, because Rabba was a great rabbi in the Gemara. Any rabbi in the Gemara had such high levels, unbelievable. Imagine that the top guy in the class says, I'm average. So then where's everybody else going to fit? No one can be anything else. So now, he says, Ulahavin kol zeh be'er heitev. And to understand all this clearly, now this is going to be like a long, fragmented sentence. Okay, keep this in mind. It's a long, fragmented sentence. You want to go, where's the end of the sentence? You don't get to the end of the sentence for a long time. So, what does he mean by, to explain all this clearly? So, the Chassidus Mever says, means to say, B'more Chazal Shuvel El, Matzino Kama Hadragas B'chiluka Madregas Enishkel El, we brought from the rabbis many different levels. Next page, Nun Gimel. In other words, Tzadik Gomer, Tzadik Eino Gomer, which means, is the evil subservient to the Tov? Is the Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara controlling? So to understand all these concepts I've mentioned, right, which we need to understand what that clearly means. And I'm continuing in the bold lines. V'gam lohavin ma shomer Iyov. And I throws in another thing. What Iyov said. And the Gemara Baba Basra elucidates on the words of Iyov. He says, Rebbeinu Shalaylam, barasa tzadikim, barasa rishoyim. He says, God, you created tzadikim, you created rishoyim. And that's a problem. Because that contradicts a Gemara Nida that says Vahot Tzadik for Russia Lo Kamar, but a Tzadik in Russia does not say. So what does this mean? So Chassidus Mevarez explains what this third and final question is. He says Gemara East. The Gemara says Sheiyov Bikesh Lifter Solom Kula Min Adid. Iyov want to free everyone from punishment in this world. He wants to say no one deserves to get punished in this world. Why? But Taina, his claim is Sheiyev Shalahanish Asadam Al Masav Harayim. You can't punish anyone for the evil they did. Because God created the world in such a way that part of the people are tzaddik and part of the people are rishoy. He made them that way. That was Eov's understanding. Who can hold you back, Hashem? If you peg that guy to be a Russia, he's a Russia. That's what Eov said. Perish. Kivin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Bara Adam Peloni Russia. Since God created so and so as a Russia, Yevshalos Adam Laakev L'Shanas Machshav Shur Tzono Yisparach Shia Russia. It's impossible for the guy to hold back what God wanted from him to be a Russia. Valkein Onu Super Massive Rhyme. It's beyond his control. That was Yev's claim. And really, when his friends heard this, they did not disagree with him on this point. If you look in the Book of Yev, they don't say, "No, you're wrong." So it seems at this point, it seemed to have been a reasonable point. Now, of course, he's going to say, but that can't be. I can't understand these words of Iyov. One of the fundamental principles of Yiddishkeit is a person has free will choice in every aspect of Torah and Mitzvahs. As the rabbis say, and this is where the Rebbe meant, it says, at the day of conception of the embryo, it says, Ka'amr Chazal, Shekadosh Baruch Hu, Omer Lamalach HaMamun Al HaRoyon, Imav Lad Yegibor HaChalash, Ani HaOsher, etc. Avol Tzadik Varesh Lokamar. There's an angel in charge of the baby. What does the angel decide? This drop, what should it be? Should it be strong? Should it be weak? Should it be rich? Should it be poor? All those external circumstances of life, that is decided for the child. But the Gemara says, but he doesn't say, is it going to be a tzaddik, is it going to be a rasha, because that's up to the person. Because it says, Ke'akol b'dei shemayim, chutz mi'yirat shemayim, everything's up to Hashem except for fear of God. So that's, go back to the line of the Tanya that we read. The line of Tanya says, there's a contradiction what Iyov said, Ribbono shel Olam, barasa tzaddik and barasa rishoyim. Iyov said, you may be the way they are, and that contradicts to the Gemara Nida that says, V'hot tzadik v'rasha l'kamar. The Gemara Nida says, the angel asks a lot of questions, doesn't ask if he'll be a tzadik or a rasha. Yeah, that's how you read the line in the Tanya. If you didn't have the Chassidim verse, you wouldn't and didn't know enough Gemara, you wouldn't understand what he's asking. Right? Vim Kain, so now he concludes, Eich Amar Iyov Barasa Tzadikim Barasa Rishayim. How can he say you created Tzadikim, you created Rishayim? Right, that's what footnote 18 says, that the friends even agreed to what he said. So the person can't reach the level of tzaddik on his own steam. Depends on what Hashem says. The tzaddik for Russia will come. It's the opposite of the rule of the Gemara says. We don't say if he's a tzaddik or a Russia. Everything's up to Hashem except for Yerushalayim. So far we have three questions. Right, and that's what the bottom kitzur says. Number one, how can we say that the baby is administered an oath that even if everybody says you're a tzaddik, you should consider yourself to be a Russia? That contradicts the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says she should always be in your eyes, not like a Russia. Number two, logically it doesn't make sense. If you think you're a Russia, then either A, you'll live like a Russia, or you'll be depressed. And number three, how do we resolve the contradiction between Iyov that says man was created to be what he is, so Gemara says he isn't created to be what he is. So let's move on to Nun Dalet. We'll just begin the next part. That's the end of the first part of this Perek Aleph. So the second part of Nun Dalet asks, Maho Beinoni, what is a Beinoni? So remember, he's in a run-on sentence, remember? Right? He says, in order to understand all these levels, in order to understand what he has said, Vegam lohavin maus madrigasman, and also understand what a Beinoni is. Shibavada ain't a mechzus chuyas of mechzus vonus. He's certainly not a person who's half merits and half demerits. Right? He says, Gam yesu avin es mahus madrigasmanus. What does it mean when we say someone's a Beinoni? Hanumah madrigasmanus. What's his true level? Gamamlafi pashas loshan kazal mashish veronu mish yeshu mechzus chuyas of mechzus vonus. According to the simple wording of the rabbis, a Beinoni is a half an effort. But that can't really be what his real essence is, as he's going to prove this now. You cannot say a Benoni is a half an effort. Right? So, for example, Shim Kain, because if so, if a Benoni is half and half, remember what Rabba said? Rabba said he's a half an effort. So, Ikhtar Rabba Ba'asim Lomer Shabbanoni, how could Rabba make the mistake and think he's a Benoni? But nor do we know, the Gemara says about him, Delo Pasik Puma Megirsa, he never stopped learning Torah ever, to such a point that when the Malach HaMavos was sent to kill him, when it was time to die, at Shafil Malach HaMavos, even the Malach HaMavos couldn't control him. He couldn't kill him. There had to be a diversion, they had to make a noise, and then he stopped for a second, you know, by accident, and then the Malach got him. So, how could you make a mistake and say that he's the guy who's a half and halfer? He never stopped learning Torah his whole life, and that's what he says below. He says, yes, Benoni is the guy who's half mitzvahs, half averus. How could Rabba make such a big mistake and think he's a half and halfer? Where he himself knew how great he was in learning Torah. Right, in terms of the quantity that he never stopped learning. And certainly the quality of his learning must have been a very high level because the Mal couldn't touch him. Let's say the guy who had a very low quality learning, the Mal could have knocked him off. But we're talking about learning Torah, like, learning Torah, his mom is bringing the heavens down to the earth. That's why the Mal can't touch him. So how could you say that a Benoni is a half an hour when Rabba, he wouldn't lie. And again, he's not being overly modest. Okay, we'll have to stop at this point. It's always going to be cliffhangers. I guess we'll have a class next week. Why not? Those that are here seem to be here anyway. Okay, we'll continue. Mirtzah Shem next week on Nun Hei.
Are we going to-